5 years. There we go. FP8 is Frank Taylor. Frank is of course Carl Frank sitting over there. W2KBF. Who, thank you for your contributions to amateur radio. And Taylor, James Taylor, was a rock artist in the 70s. Those are the guys that came up with. No, it's actually Stephen Frank and Joe Taylor. I think everybody knows that. And what is it? 15 seconds, 50 hertz, 8 tones, 6.5 hertz spacing. I got a slide on this later that explains a little bit more. 77 bits of information, a 14-bit cyclic redundancy check, 14 bits, okay? Packet radio, it was you know, like 3, okay? So there's a lot of redundancy built in there, okay? And a signaling interval of 0.18 seconds per symbol. So each symbol it's sending takes about a little less than 200 milliseconds. Signal-to-noise ratio is minus 20 dB, okay? So how does that structure? So basically, one of the things I did when I was doing this is, okay, it's 8 tones. What are they? I went back and asked AI that. And this is what the 8 tones in an FT8 signal would be. So you've got your fundamental tone at whatever frequency you're sending at. And then you're up 6 hertz, up 12 and a, up to 12 and a half hertz, up to 18. So you're going up 6.25 hertz with each tone. How much is 6 hertz? Okay. Well, I went back and looked, obviously looking at AI, the difference between middle C and C sharp, which is about what your ear can hear, is 15 hertz. So this is a little less than your ear can hear. And when we get into whisper, it's hell of a lot less than that. Okay. So this is basically a very, very small difference in the tone that you probably can't hear. But you're not trying to copy this. If you are, you're crazy. But the coder can hear it. So this is what basically the 8 tones in FT8 are. Okay, they're a fundamental, and then 6.25 hertz increments. The continuous phase. I think this basically means when you're going from one tone to another, you could have a phase change in the middle of the tone. So you're going up and down, and all of a sudden you're halfway here in the signal. And then you're coming down on the other one. I think that's what it's talking about. And the software makes sure that doesn't happen. So if you're going up and you're coming off of your tone number one and you're going to your tone number two, it'll make sure it starts in the same phase. That's what I'm guessing is happening here. And it's going to make it, yeah, and it's going to be easier to decode. So the software makes sure that, you know, if you played the C on a piano and then you played a D on a piano, they could be out of phase from each other, and your ear doesn't care, but the decoder would. A Costas array is a 7-tone sequence that appears in the start and middle of every transmission, and it's basically a series of characters that doesn't occur anywhere else. So when the decoder picks up this particular series of characters, it knows where it is in the middle of the transmission. So it can start synchronizing itself with what's supposed to be before it and what's supposed to be after it. And there's code in FT8 that says, if I'm going to generate that series of characters, I won't. Okay, so the only place this particular series can occur is where they're supposed to occur, and they're there for timing. And then the Gaussian smoothing is just a way, I think, of creating easier... making sure you don't splatter with it, okay? So that's kind of the architecture of an FT8 signal. So what I got into with that is, okay, that's one signal, but when you work FT8, you got a whole bunch of signals. So you've got a really wide bandwidth there, right? Doesn't that blow away the fact that you're trying to get a really narrow bandwidth? So I went back and said, how the hell do you do that? And the answer is it breaks it into individual bandwidths and decodes all 50 of them. Okay, so it's not looking at one big bandwidth of FT8 signals. It's looking at 50 small bandwidths of FT8 signals and decoding each of them, which is really, you think about what's going on in this thing. I mean, holy smoke, the math behind this thing is just amazing. So,
Which is why he has a Nobel Prize, and you
exactly.
know
that's
right. There's a lot of reasons for that. There's a lot of reasons for that. So, you know, so that's basically what's going on in FT8. Okay, everybody knows what FT8 is used for. It's used for Houston. Yeah, Jeff.
Might even be one more trick
yeah.
that's in there.
Yeah.
You stumbled on Please. It as well.
Okay, go ahead.
If there's a really strong FT8 signal in one spot, it'll do a second, if you allow it to, it'll do a second pass and subtract out what it decoded there to see if there was something hidden underneath it.
Oh, nice.
Whoa.
Yeah. Because it's so, all math,
that's
right?
Smart.
Yeah. It's, yeah.
It's a little too smart.
Yeah. So that's FT8, and that's all I've got to talk about on that. I'm going to go into Q65, but does anybody have anything else they want to throw in about FT8?
It's not a question, it's just
a
comment.
That's why we do
that. What you said about the multiple transmissions of the same data
mm-hmm.
now kind of makes sense to me, because sometimes when I click on it, I'm like 7 seconds into... Maybe not 7 seconds, but maybe 5 seconds into that window,
mm-hmm.
and it still goes through. It's because the data is
yeah.
not taking 15 seconds to do once. It's taking 15 seconds to do multiple times.
Yeah.
And the error correction catches what I missed from when I
yeah.
did that delay. But
yeah.
at some point, if you wait too long, it doesn't go through.
Yeah, there's also a subtle pause.
Yeah.
For to account for it. Clocks that are not synchronized.
Right. Right. Yeah. So, okay. And Sheldon?
This is a silly question, but there are 8 tones there,
mm-hmm.
right? And there are 26 characters of letters and so many numbers.
Mm-hmm.
How do you distinguish a letter or a number?
There's a particular combination of tones that define
like Morse code?
A character.
Probably like ASCII, where computers use ones and zeros.
It'd be like Morse code if you had 8 different tones you could use.
So it's the same thing
as written or anything
it's
else. Especially you got something
that is a sequence. It's a sequence of the tones. Each individual character is represented by a specific sequence of tones.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And is it all 8 of the tones or just 4 of the tones?
All eight spots are filled, but they may be null characters.
Well, I didn't know if some of those 8 tones are redundancy for other tones. So, you know, you may not hear the higher tone, but you hear the lower tone, and you still get the character because it's encoded in both. So I guess the question is where is the character encoded along those?
I didn't get into that level. That's beyond where I was.
You know, those go up and down for each of the tones, do 0 and 1.
Right, right. I can do some digging and write something.
Theoretically, you can transmit all 8 tones at once,
mm-hmm.
but not necessarily. It can leave some out to give you the 0.
It theoretically could transmit all 8 tones at once because it can decode them separately. We can't listen to, well, sure we can. We can listen to a chord on the piano. That's
yep.
what multiple
same
tones.
Thing.
Okay,
well,
so.
FT8 sounds like hell. It's all dissonant.
It's not supposed to be musical. you take a Mozart piano concerto, dump it into FT8 and see what you get. Okay, anything else on FT8?
Shakespeare.
Right. Okay. Q65, so this is Moon Bounce. So, think about the use case first, okay? The use case for FT8 is communication back and forth at a reasonable speed in a reasonable time, real time, okay? Over normal RF paths. That's what the use case for FT8 is. The use case for EME is you're going 500,000 miles out and back. Your signal is broadening as you send it out. So when we were looking at EME, I think only about 6% of what we broadcast from here hits the moon. Okay, the other 94% misses the moon. So if we're going out there with, you know, 2 kilowatts, we're putting 120 watts onto the moon. And then the same damn thing happens when you come back. So you're talking really, really weak signals. Going into a circular spherical object that has an irregular surface, and it's moving, right? So you got Doppler shift, right? And I started thinking about this last night. If you've heard satellite Doppler shift, when a satellite's going over high pass, you'll hear a single sign being signaled, it'll kind of go like this as the satellite goes overhead. Okay, and if you've listened, you've heard that. And you hear CW going da 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 da. Literally that fast on an overhead pass. Well, the moon's not moving that fast, but the tones that we're using are so damn close to each other that a little bit of Doppler shift is going to change the freaking tone. Okay? So it's got to compensate for Doppler shift, even though it's not moving as fast as a satellite is. It's still moving in the sky. We know that. So that's got to happen too. So it's got to handle all of this stuff. All right, so what's it doing? This section over here, JT65 preceded Q65. So this was kind of the predecessor for it. It was a different 84 tones versus 65 tones. It wasn't quite as sensitive. It was a 60-second. Q65 is selectable. So when we work Q65, let's see. First of all, we're using wider tone spacing. Okay, the wider gaps reduce Doppler-induced smearing. So when we were talking, what I was just talking about before, if you use really narrow tones and the moon's moving, the Doppler shift is going to screw you up because it's real easy for one tone to move to the next tone because of the Doppler. So they're using wider tones, right? So they're already compensating for the Doppler by doing that kind of thing. The second is a selectable period. So when we're operating Q65, you're basically can't operate EME. We found this. You're sitting on a chat room, basically, and somebody is saying, I am using a Q6530 signal on 1296.100. John, I'm pretty right, all right? Okay, so you'll tune to 1296.100, and he'll say, I'm using the 30-second transmission. So we'll set ours to receive a 30-second transmission, and it'll send 30 seconds of the same thing over and over and over and over again. And you can go 15 seconds or 30 seconds or 60 seconds. Sometimes they'll use 30, sometimes they'll use 60. That's what we saw when we were working EME. Okay, so it's a much longer transmission. It's not more data. It's just a much longer transmission. It's much more redundancy. They're packing the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again. So if you miss this part of it, you'll get it here. Okay, that's how this stuff works.
So does the software know where the moon is when you're operating with it to be able to compensate for the Doppler? Or
good question. The software does know where the moon is. John's nabbing. Okay. And I think it probably does. I mean, this is when I went to the EME conference, it was a 2-day conference. There was a beginner session, and then there was a session for normal people. And I went to the beginner session, and I didn't go back the second day because so much of it was that far over my head.
Wow.
This stuff gets complicated into the weeds. You get into libration fading. You get into dealing with the fact that there's mountains and craters on the moon. And just, you know, the moon is rotating, you know.
But however it does it compensates
yeah,
the Doppler is moving.
Yeah, I think it does. It does it, number one, by using wider tone spacing, but it also may change the tones, but I didn't see that anymore.
Okay.
Okay. And it's using basically a different set of encoding, so it basically is assuming that you might lose, I don't know, maybe 12 seconds of that 30-second dropout. Okay, so it's expecting a different type of interference than FT8 might. Okay, you might have the moon just might fade away for 12 seconds out of that, and it can still spacing out the redundancy so that it can fill in a small amount of data from a very long transmission. Okay, 65 tones. What are they? Okay. The tone spacing here is 2.1 kilohertz. You cannot hear a 2.1 kilohertz difference. You know, the C sharp is 15. I'm sorry, 2.1 hertz.
Not, no, I was going to say.
Yeah, sorry. Just staring at me. 2.1 hertz. All right. The difference between C and C sharp is 15 hertz. All right, so you are not going to hear the difference between any of these, but it can tell. So it's got a heck of a lot more tones it can work with, and you can pack a lot more data if you've got more different signaling methods.